Roth International, ruining it for everybody else in the morning. Broadcasting live from the Rhythm Kitchen, the nerve center of our gangland stronghold, New York City, all the way to Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, San Diego, Yakima. All right, not Yakima, but soon, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Shanghai, Shantung, Rio de Janeiro, Tierra del Fuego. Look at Soup's face. He thinks I'm talking about strippers. Tierra del Fuego, is she still dancing? Woof, never say die. You would have thought the ankles would have gone by now.
Shake it, baby. Shake it, baby. Shake.
Animal, this is not your first time on the radio, is it?
No,
come on.
Oh, no. I mean, you've been on the radio several times, Dave.
Oh, yeah. That, well, they don't know that out there, and no, I like to hear your voice, man.
Oh, man. I like to hear your voice, too.
Oh, feel the love.
Feel the love, yeah, is right. Yeah. But you were describing what you used to talk like. Tell that story again, man, that you just told
the
guys.
Well, you know, like, when I used to roll with Easy, man, I used to swear all the time. You know, every other word was like a cuss word. And then, like, when I got with you, you know, you taught me a new way. It's like, you know, like, you know, it's cool right now, but don't swear so much. But I didn't get it. One day I was on the phone talking to Busy Bone about what we was doing, and I was just swearing and swearing. All of a sudden, man, you came out of the bus, man, and embarrassed me in front of everybody, man. I was like, oh, man, if I could have disappeared, man, I would have disappeared.
Yeah, but
that
but I made up for it. You not only now know how to operate in a corporate and a structured environment, but now you know how to swim, right? Right.
Yes, sir. You taught me how to swim, man. You saved my life, man. I can even save somebody now, man.
Okay,
tell
people.
Thank you about it.
Okay, this is Animal. He's our director of security and also our dance instructor.
Yes,
and
he's
tell everybody what you look like, man. Well, how tall are you, Animal?
I'm like 6'5", about 350.
350, you're wasting away, man.
And I'm not fat.
No, there's not an ounce of fat on you. How
my
come?
Tongue.
Tell us some history here. When you were a little kid, you never went swimming in the pond or what?
Never. I was just so scared of water. I used to fake it. You know, if the water came up above my hips and waist, that's far as it would go. My chest, no way. I always faked it. And then, like, one day you was talking about going to Australia. We were going snorkeling. And I was like, well, man, you might as well count me out because I can't swim. And then you was like, you don't know how to swim? I'll teach you. And I was like, yeah, I'll learn. But I was hoping you was like, just kidding, man. But you wasn't kidding, man. And I was like, man, oh, man. So
how, like, long did it actually take us? Like 2 months?
Yeah, about 2 months and stuff. About 2 months, because the first, but what you didn't know, the first 3 weeks, I was scared out of my life, man.
Yeah,
you
but
just
you
didn't know that, though. I wouldn't, because I don't show fear for nobody. Our bodyguard, for you don't want no scary bodyguard, but I couldn't show no fear. And you probably about the only person could have taught me how to swim, because anybody else couldn't. I'd have drowned then, you know. But you, I was like, man, I can't show no fear around Dave, man, you know.
So it was, man, like, you had never been in the water.
Never.
And I remember the first day, you was cool, man. You walked right in, and I said to myself, I said, you're going to be good.
You put a life vest on me. That's why I was cool going in, man. And I remember the day you said, well, Animal, the vest coming off tomorrow, now be ready. I got no sleep that night, man. And my favorite memory of us learning to swim is, like, you said, Animal, tomorrow now you got to jump in the deep part without your gear. You got to go down. I was like, okay, cool, you know, like that. But, man, Dave, man, I shook. I didn't sleep at all that night either, man. And then when I got over to your house, I was trying to think of every reason that I could come up with not to come to your house that day. I couldn't think of not one. And so when I got there, you know, she told me to put my gear on. You was on the phone with somebody. So I'm out there messing around and stuff. And then we went through our lesson, and the lesson was about over. I said, oh, man, I ain't got to jump in. He ain't remembered it yet. And he said, Animal, get ready. You got to jump in the bottom. I was like, oh, Lord, here we go.
But you know what? Let me cut in here, because Animal's big, right? And when you that big, you don't float the same. You dig it? How tall is, what's his name, who does the toe-in surfing over in come on, Laird Hamilton is something like 5'4". He's 5'5" or something like this, you know. And guys who do swimming are real lanky and skinny, like me or whatever. You don't see any, but you see in Animals. He's that. That's a heavyweight boxing division.
When you taught me how to swim, remember? Because when I jumped in, I said, you ain't gonna let me drown, right? And you said no. But then when you told me to hold the air in my chest and the air in my chest would bring me back up.
Yeah, but so, you already knew how to do that from several other pursuits. What was most interesting is when we went into that white racist part of town that is up north of where I live. We won't say the name of the city. Walked right into the sports store and said, "We need a wetsuit." And the guy looked at me and he said, "For you?" And I said, "No." I don't even think they've seen a black guy in there.
No, much like, I don't think so, man. I was the only black guy up in there, I think, man.
I know it for a fact. I'm just making conversation.
Okay.
But it was the first time they ever measured a wetsuit that big. Yeah. That thing was as big as a windboard sail.
You're going to tell the good stuff about the wetsuit, right? When the dude made it too big and you and him got into a big yelling thing in this store, I thought I had to fight the whole store, man. Dave, he was like, "I brought him in here to get him tailor-made, and this S don't fit, and I want somebody to fix it now." And I'm looking around for security for him to come over and stuff.
Security isn't going anywhere.
Coming nowhere around.
They're
us,
not
man.
Coming anywhere near you.
And this other little guy came over. "I do the measurements. I do them. So, dude, he measured me up. Then I said, Dave called me about a week and a half later. "Hey, your new suit ready. Let's go get it." So I went up there, man. I was like, "Well, put it on, fit like a glove." It was on then, man.
Absolutely
the right.
Right. You'll never be late for the dance again, man.
Yeah.
We're going to take calls. What do we have? Scott says his daughter's school has gay prom. Never heard of such a thing. Put him on. Are we on? Scott, are you there?
Hey, what's up, Dave?
You're up. Go ahead. You have the spotlight, man. You're on. I'm going to kick back. Go. Talk.
Yeah, her high school, I'd never heard of this. I mean, I was strictly amazed. They have a gay prom. They have gay alliance classes. It's almost like a choir class. The boys.
Well, now wait a minute. Wasn't the choir class always that?
But now, listen to this. This is.
Come on. Anytime you told somebody I'm in the glee club, what was the look you got? I mean, come on. So there are certain things that already existed. You're back on. Go ahead, man.
Now my daughter thinks that the boys there wear those hip huggers like girls wear. And that is hot.
She thinks that's hot on them?
Yeah.
Well, she thinks that's hot on them because she doesn't feel threatened. And those guys are going to grow up and become the guys who design her clothes. Those are the guys who are going to grow up and cut her hair. Those are the guys who are going to grow up and take the pictures of the people who do wear those clothes and do those hair. Those are the guys who are going to grow up and sell her makeup and whatever. And she totally feels unthreatened by them the same way little girls feel unthreatened by Justin Timberlake, man.
Yeah,
no, put him back on, man. Let me hear this.
Walking around holding hands. There's girls walking around holding hands. I'm like, wait a minute. What? She said, "Oh, they got, you know, gay alliance classes and proms." And I'm like, wait a minute. What happened to just strictly getting laid by, you know, the others?
Oh, I don't think that went anywhere. I think this probably already existed and nobody was just aware of it. And everybody thought, well, that always just happens in New York or what have you. Down in any number of other cities. But I think probably you're just becoming aware of it. I don't know that many people are walking around holding hands. You know what I find in the inner city more than anything, because I'm a people watcher. That's a big part of why I'm down here in the city, is that it pays to camouflage yourself. When I walk around this city, I look far from what I do for a living. I am an expert at urban camouflage. You dress the same color as the buildings. You wear black shoes because it doesn't show the dirt. You wear black pants so that you can sit on the step and eat your hero sandwich and drink your soda pop anywhere that you want. You can stop, just like a Sherpa told me in the Himalayas once. He said, "Dave, you will know that you have become one with the mountain when you look like it and you can lay down on it and sleep at any time." I said, "Great. This is the way we do in the city." When you're talking about, well, the girls are walking around holding hands, you know what? Little girls do that routinely. And if you watch chimpanzees, if the guys are too rough, they'll start bonding with each other. That's a given medical scientific fact. Lesbianism isn't limited to just human beings. And as far as guys walking around holding hands, that still makes me blink a little bit when I see it on the street because it's so unusual. But then there was a point in time when I was scared of people who wore turbans because I had just never seen one. And now virtually every doctor who handles me back in Los Angeles, Dr. Patel, my favorite doctor since I was 12 years old, slowly but surely, every doctor that I work with now, and believe me, I'm 51 and my x-rays are 70. Dr. Patel hands me off to Dr. Punjab, which hands me off to Dr. whatever, and I just had to get used to it. Granted, still, when I see two guys holding hands or whatever down, you know, walking around the Lower East or whatever, it's a little bit surprising. But again, I've made the point before. I don't think it's that kids can't handle it. Obviously, your daughter is a little more at ease with it than perhaps I am or you are. What do you think?
Yeah, a lot. Because if that happened when we was in school,
How old were you? How old are you, my friend?
I'm 40.
Okay, I'm 51. Yeah, and if it happened when we were in school, I remember little girls like that. I who had the short hair, the little girls who were extra good at soccer. You know, the little girls who were, you know, the badminton teacher in junior high school. You know, and all of that kind of thing. You kind of knew, but you didn't really know. You know that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You would have gotten your teeth smashed out, and particularly if you were down south, particularly if you were in places rural. What about where you came from, Animal? You never saw that stuff.
Never. It was one in our school, but nobody could really prove it. But then after he graduated, he kind of came out of the closet and started flaming, and then we knew.
Yeah, well, ultimately, you know, you're going to either speak up for yourself or whatever. I was totally coming out of the 60s, 70s. We knew nothing about this. If you never heard any, you might Liberace or somebody like that. You'd be aware of that. But my girlfriend at the time, Arlene, had a cousin, and she was a sweet little gal. We'll give her a name. Call her Cindy. And Cindy was out and out. She was out and out, but she was, you know, she had the chain on the wallet and, you know, and the little short haircut, a little Mexican gal, real cute. And the only place that I could get in to go drinking with my girlfriend Arlene was out at the women's bar in Hollywood. It was called the Bacchanal. And it would be me and 200 girls and a security guy, much like yourself, Animal. Oh, man. I developed an enthusiasm early. More than that, a working familiarity with, you know. But it was the only place that I could get in because the girls figured out that if they had a kitchen, then it was actually a restaurant. And 18-year-olds like me could hang out in a place where there was alcohol served. And they had all the best music. In fact, the next tune that we got was one of the tunes that they used to play routinely on either the live bands, and every club had a live band back then, or they played it, the DJ, you know, just somebody with a little wheel of steel. And the gal who's singing up on the next one was part and parcel of that whole culture here. A little something from 1972. Go, baby. Roth, 866-313-3733. Give it up, baby.
Empty and cold, all these say, lo and behold, deep in the night, down in my dreams, glorious sight, this soul has seen.
Give me some guitar there, brothers. Bad B Young on the guitar in the background. That. Oh, funky, baby. Way too early in the morning, getting too funky in here. Let's take another phone call. Which one, point to it. Which one do you want to go to? Okay, men have, which one are you pointing to?
13. You got Jason from Cleveland.
Jason, talk to me. Bring the loop down there a little bit, Hutch. Jason, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
You're on the spotlight, Jay. Go.
Yeah, I was just wanting to talk about the choices men have for, like, it don't really apply to me. I have four kids, and I have custody of my oldest two.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Whoa! How'd you? That's a heavy load, son. You've been busy.
I got a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, an almost 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old.
All from one woman?
No, the oldest two were from the previous marriage, and I have custody of them. The other two, me and her, are married.
And you have full control over all these kids?
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. But, you earned it.
Really? You know, I have a few friends that
boy,
women have gotten pregnant and kind of stuck it to them, and you know, like it's different for me in that situation, but for them, I kind of feel for them because women have lots of options. They have abortion, adoption, abstinence, the same as us or whatever. But you know, men. If a woman wants to trap them, she could trap them totally. Like downtown here at Cleveland, at the courthouse where they have hearings for child support, there's a sign on the wall that says, "Women, before you go in the house with a man, write down his license plate number. It might get you child support." You know, like this is just crazy to me.
Well, I think you have an interesting point there. I myself have gotten a couple girls pregnant, and I was very lucky that they were forward-thinking enough to take care of that in get an abortion. Okay, that's the kind of thing that most people don't even want to talk about. But my life would have been radically different if these girls hadn't made that decision on their own. And it's kind of a decision where you're really suspect to come up and say, hey, what about this? Especially if you're dealing with somebody with a Catholic bias or somebody coming from an extremely religious background, which it's very interesting, you know, because the people who are the best in bed are either the most dysfunctional or the ones who come from the most restrictive backgrounds. All right. Yeah, and then so you're going to go chasing the thrill of the chase or the chase of the thrill, and then that backfires on you, no pun intended. Boof. Also, you know, once you get started, just remember, man, that's a vagina, not a turnstile, man. Pay attention. There's enough people inner city as it is. I think it's probably an education issue. How many of these guys are not using condoms? Is that what's
I know the one guy, his condom busted, but, you know, I thought to myself, like, the fair thing to do would be as the baby's born, if it's his option for to have the same thing or adoption or abortion. If she don't want to have the abortion, then it should be on her only, not on him.
That's a difficult that's a difficult issue, you know, because if you enter into the agreement together, it's like being on a sailboat. You're really not jumping over. I'm sorry, turn them up.
My previous wife that I got rid that we're no longer together, that's why we're no longer together, is she ended up having an abortion, and, you know, that wasn't my choice. She got to just make that choice. Like, men have no decision in the choice whatsoever.
Oh, you know, obviously we have a triple standard here. I had what's Chertoff's description? Yeah, what is he, a producer? I had a producer
program
here. Program director, whatever, go off on my manager, Sensio, yesterday, calling him a name that if he had called it to a girl that close in his face, he would have been fired instantly and he would not work in this industry again. But because he said it to a guy, okay, it's forgotten. All is forgiven. There's clearly a different standard here. I don't know if that's a balance or if we're out of balance. Give us a call. Weigh in on this. 866-313-3733. Commercials for me, baby.
David Lee Roth. Weekday mornings.
Ah, free, baby. What a long, great bong hit it's been. Give me some guitar, bad boy. Got B. Young in the background here. You say? Turn the track down and let's just hear the guitar there. Now turn the track up, eh? Yeah. Now turn the track down. turn the track up. Now turn the track up loud, baby. Dumb whites. All the way from Philadelphia, Lou says his views change as you get older. You know what I've noticed about my own personal views is that the stuff that I love and the stuff that I hate is almost easily interchangeable. I don't know when that happened to me. Right around my bar mitzvah. Lou, you're on.
Yo, Dave.
Talk, baby. You're in the spotlight.
Hey, why do you think it is? The older that we get, you know, especially when we get married, we have kids, you know, whatever. Why do you think that we look at our kids and what they're doing and the way that society's interacting with them, and we kind of like get like our parents, and we sit there and we say to ourselves, you know, why should society do this to our kids? But it's just the way that, you know, it's the evolution of mankind.
I think that just about every generation thinks we hold the mortgage on popular culture. Oh, our music was the best. Our women looked the best. The clothing was the sexiest. You know, the guitar solos were the coolest. Our cars were better, et cetera, et cetera. And that's just that's just an ego issue. I think also that, you know, we do become our parents. They say that the both the sins and the gifts of the father will be visited upon the children. Howard Stern is experiencing some of that right about now. Showbiz, baby, and his daughter's getting involved in it. He's involved in the edge of showbiz, the front edge of showbiz. That's a dangerous spot to be in. It's always a good one, but it's a dangerous spot to be in. And now his daughter is imitating that. She's involved in that. It's a very famous song in Portuguese that's very famous. All Brazilians know it. And it's called Nossos Pais, which means our parents. Ainda somos os mesmos e nossos pais. It's still, we are always the same, just like nossos pais, just like our parents, baby. And I turned into my father's son. Who would have thought? I thought I was going to be a pirate. I thought I was going to be a Hell's Angel pirate. I thought I was going to be a Hell's Angel pirate with 2 6 guns, and I'd be able to shoot him across my back with a mirror, just like on the TV set. And I ended up going to school as a way of life. I ended up in a ambulance uniform. I ended up as a pilot. I ended up going to Spanish class 3 mornings a week, et cetera, et cetera. I ended up being complete opposite of what I thought I was. Did you grow up to be what you thought you were going to be?
Dave, one more quick question.
Oh, there's your answer. Go ahead, my friend.
Hey, listen, what? You know, because a lot of people, you know, they see David Lee Roth. They don't really know exactly who David Lee Roth is. But when you go home at night and you sit, you know, you sit down, what was like the last book that you read?
That's an interesting question. P.J. O'Rourke just did it's his brand new one, and it's got the slat. You're putting me on the spot here. I forget the exact name of it. But I just bought it at the airport. And P.J. is a great reportage, it's called. You know, it's something like Hunter Thompson, and he reviews what's going on in politics as well. But that's an interesting question that you're asking, and the reason that I'm stumbling around is that the last 3 months of my time have been spent in ground school, and that has been hours and hours and hours every day of academic formulary, it's called. It's all correcting pressure density, altitude for temperature changes above ground level, which is different than mean sea level, but different if you're doing 120 knots, which is different than mileage, which is different, which is different, which is different and different. And those, no, literally, those are the books. Those are the books that that I've been hitting hard. And one of the reasons that I hit them hard is because it's a meditation. What's this say? Peace kills? What does that mean, Hutch?
That's a P.J. O'Rourke book. Is that his latest?
Oh, right. Yeah, with it's got the circle with the slash, etc. Great, great book. And, you know, I'm a cynic. I'm not a comedian. I'm not here. My sense of humor, like New York, has teeth in it, but I don't think you depend on me for the funny. I'm the one who said, hey, I ain't talking about love. And you know why? Because you might as well jump.
Doing a great job, Dave.
Thank you so much, my friend. You know what? He's got an interesting point, isn't it? No, you don't know a whole lot about me. I think I know a lot about you. And maybe this is my reality series. It's one of the reasons that I don't talk a lot about music, or at least my music. I love talking about music. Sometimes talking about music is actually more fun than actually listening to it, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure you got fans, you know, that gets old after a while. You know, oh, David Lee Roth, oh, I know your song, and da-da-da-da, you know. you want to hear about the real person behind the music.
I agree with you 110%. That's why we're exploring all kinds of avenues here. My view, my take on the world around me has been shaped by a load close to 40 stamps in my passport, a whole lot of rumors, lies, lawsuits, and innuendo spread by my competitors to ruin my good name. Most of it actually true, but I have to deny it. I've left a trail of groupies and rubble. It stretches from Broadway to Cheyenne, and perhaps the path of excess does lead to the Palace of Illumination. I don't know. Hopefully it'll lead to a commercial right after this.
David Lee Roth Mornings.
Lupo playing, man. Play it up, Ryan. Play it, man. Woo! That boy's got rhythm. That boy's got rhythm. He's got the rhythm. He's got the rhythm. Woo!
Roth, 6 a.m., eating fried chicken and drinking iced tea from a thermos, pulling weeds next to the driveway and dreaming of the day I'm going to make enough money to climb on the Lupo plane again, baby. Roth, 6 a.m., ruining it for everybody else. What's new? Ain't exactly headlines. Taking the calls, taking the trouble, taking the time. Look, everybody's calling from everywhere, and they're showing me emails coming from all over the world now. We're getting them from India, getting them from England. Where do we get? Australia, we got. I can't read lips. I'm sorry. They're yelling. Oh, I owe you how much? Okay. How about let's take a call here. No, I'm sorry. I think I just said those. Those are actually our guests coming up. We don't actually have any guests, do we? That again is courtesy of no animal. I didn't mean you. No. We're going to have some guests, and it's not that we weren't interested in having guests. It's just that we didn't find any that were interesting, man. No, I asked Chernoff where the guests were, and he's pointed to said something vaguely about Hurricane Katrina. Number eight, Dave from you're the only one who got that. Who was laughing? Well, you're on your third latte if you pick that one out of the soup. Okay, number eight, and it's Dallas, Texas. Yeah. Swing,
hey, you're in the Big Diamond Dave, what's up?
Dave, you're in the spotlight. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, listen, I heard you mention about this empowerment from women disrobing, you know, taking the clothes off, doing the pictorials and things. And I got to tell you, I think it's crock, man. I think it's motivated by greed, you know, desperation sometimes, you know, the desire to be in the spotlight. I don't think it has anything to do with empowerment. I think when a woman wants to empower herself, she gets a master's degree, she gets a corporate gig, throws on a three-piece suit, and squeezes the balls of her male employees through intimidation and fear. I think when a girl takes her clothes off, she's looking for a buck or, simply maybe the beginning of some kind of career. I mean, you remember, man, you're from L.A. You remember the mass influx of deluded little girls that all came to the Southern California because, you know, they were so talented and, you know, so they had the dream and, you know, they were just going to make it and stuff. And, you know, they ended up, you know, the only thing that they ever did on the big screen is, you know, take their clothes off and just say, please don't get in my hair. So I don't think they're doing it now.
Which is the title of my new song. Take your clothes off and don't worry, this comes off with water.
And I think a lot of these stars, when they do this, it's desperation to try to save a career that's taking a swan dive.
I think that you're probably right. I don't know that there's a lot of empowerment. Well, wait, let me be the devil's advocate here and say something I completely don't believe in for a change, right? Give me some background here. Sam. I think that what's empowering, at least in the mind of somebody who's doing a centerfold or a spread shot, is that booty pulls a freight train, okay? And when you think of that as, okay, the best-looking girl gets the most guys making the most effort to do whatever, well, that's where the biggest payoff is. I agree with you. I don't think that Miss September bending over and going, well, my what I'm my turn-ons are, and she bends over and goes, world peace. and my hobbies are, and she throws them forward and goes, charity for kids. No, but then there are people like Paris Hilton who just literally don't have any choice. She has no other idea. Any idea that's in her brain rockets around like a solitary BB and then dies of loneliness. Come on, man. But then again, that's not her fault. That's her mom's fault. That's her dad's fault, okay? She's never had a choice in that. And that now, once you get past, what, 8 years old today? 10 years old? You're pretty well formatted, man. You should see some of the little kids we pick up in our ambulance out in the hood. You drive up into Harlem or over to Red Hook, Bed-Stuy, these kinds of places. A nine-year-old is carrying around more information about the world and the world of women in their heads than the entire Earth's knowledge that was contained in the 1500s. If you took everything everybody knew about everything in the 1500s, the average 10-year-old knows more than that today, babe.
Sure. Sure. Well, hey, it was a pleasure talking to you, man.
I'm sorry, is that the end of the call?
Oh, well, no, I agree with you. You're right. I just wanted to give you a call and say, yeah, I don't think it really has a whole lot to do with empowerment as much as it has to do with, you know, motivation for monetary wealth. And,
hey, I got to tell you,
you
know what I like? I enjoy remade bosoms. I like fake bosoms because it makes me think of victimizing. It looks like a target to me. And what it says is that's the number one, two, and three value that that individual has. That's the one thing they want to promote to the world. That's the one thing they want to be remembered by. And in their own mind, it's the most important thing about them. If I had said that about that to a girl, I said, you know what the most important thing about you is? then I would be busted. But what she's making that statement, that's great. In terms of doing spreadshots on the front covers of my favorite magazines, well, they're my favorite magazines for a reason. My last favorite girl is now a orthopedic surgeon for pediatrics. My best woman friend actually is Instructor Reisman here, my EMT instructor. My sisters are both college graduates. My favorite soldier is Colonel Hastings down in San Antonio, the Combat Medical College. I'm in favor of built, tough women, strong, strong women. But I think there's a place for the hookers. I think there's a place for Paris. I think there's a place for after hours. There's a place for $20 a dance. Come on, man. It's
thank God there is, really.
I knew you were harboring a secret just like me, baby.
Thanks for calling.
Who else you got? What are you pointing at, Hutch? Don't just flail your hand there. Okay, sir. All right, here we go. Number 12 from Delaware, passing along sins. Ooh, I like it. Where do I get in line, man? Della, you're on.
Hey, David Lee Roth, man. I'm glad to be talking to you.
Eric, you got the spotlight. What are you thinking about this morning?
Well, you made a comment about how, you know, you pass on your sins or whatever it is down to your children. I just got to say that is absolutely true. And that people need to realize that, you know, if they're going to raise children, that they ought to look at themselves, see what kind of people that they're going to be raising. It's hereditary, even, you know, your insecurities, your habits, they're all going to pass down. I was adopted. I did not meet my natural father until I was 17 years old, and I moved in with him. And man, I got to tell you that he and I were exactly alike. I did some of the same things. I mean, if you're fighting hereditary, just think how, you know, if they're right there and raising you, you know, if you're not a good parent, you're screwed. You know, your children aren't going to come out right.
Oh, I'm going to absolutely agree with you. And those of us here who are in showbiz are absolutely the most guilty because we have the cash, you know, we have the nannies and we have the caretakers and we have the dog walker and we've got the midwife and we've got everything. And then and what you routinely read coming from the women's side, the guys are just as guilty, but coming from the women's side is, well, I am pursuing my career and I am on the set, but I know every single thing that's happening with that child. I know what time they're eating. I know what they're eating. I know when the diaper chain's coming, and I know when the Spanish teacher is showing up and everything, but that kid is still 14 miles away in Holmby Hills.
There you go.
And every time you see one of these characters, they say, well, the Rolling Stones are, have plenty of kids, and they've been touring for many, many years. Have you ever met Keith Richards' son? Okay. Oh, yeah. John Lennon's kids are perfectly straight. Oh, yeah. That motorcycle drives beautifully down the highway. Yeah, that's right. Oh, sure. Rod Stewart's daughter is perfectly grounded. Sure. She's got a real vision. What's her boyfriend's name? It's something like Urge or something. Hey, maybe she is grounded. Turn up the music. Again, I'm not saying there's not a place for everybody, but the people who have the most advantage in life, who have the most cash, who have the most opportunities are the ones who freak it up the most. Routinely. And I'm also real tired of people pointing towards their religion and going, well, God told me to have as many kids as possible.
It gives a bad name to religion, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it gives a bad name to certain religions, and I think religion is probably around for so long because it's more about common sense, okay? As far as who you're worshiping, Buddha, Jesus, Kwanzaa, is Kwanzaa even a person? Who knows? Who cares? It's about common sense. It's about taking the community, all right? You know, when you hear like Bill Maher complaining about religion, yeah, I'm going to agree with that, but I think one thing that Bill is missing is that it's not about God. It's about common sense. Stop stealing. Stop lying.
Principles.
Don't do this. It's basic principles. And if they didn't get it right in the Ten Commandments, well, come on, they could basically only count to 10 in those days. They could only count to 13. You had your bar mitzvah and you fell off the census. Come on. You
know? Well, thanks a lot for giving me the time, Dave, man. Good luck with your show. I love it.
Hey, my friend, thanks for tuning us in. DavidLeeRoth.com, 866-313-3733. I think that's toll-free. You can call me. What do you got? You got something else better up there? Number 13, Steve. It says, Dave's comment. 13, you're on. Lucky number.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Love your music and... got to admit, I'm a little bit on the fence about the show, but I'm still trying to, you know, ease into it. Made a comment a little while ago about you had gotten a couple women pregnant, and they did the forward-thinking thing of taking care of it.
Yep.
That's that was a pretty lame, you know, lame way to put it. I mean, I'm pro-choice. I think, you know, you got to do what you need to do, and then you got to.
What do you take issue as far as that comment? What do you take issue with specifically?
Well, it's like a Neanderthal-sounding comment. It's like, you know, what's so forward-thinking about taking care of...
Stop right there. Stop right there. As far as Neanderthal, you don't even sound like you can spell it, son, okay? And as far as forward-thinking, that if you have a child that you don't want or you're not prepared to take care of or you don't have the wherewithal to take care of, you will destroy your life. You will ruin that kid's life. It'll be an odds-on chance that neither of you will make it to the end of your term as far as your life expectancy without the drug problems, without further pregnancy problems, without all the crime and everything else that adds up to kids who don't get the kinds of attention and the education that they deserve. And when you have an accidental pregnancy like I came from, look what I turned out to be. Turn up the music, man. That's right. My mom didn't want to have kids. My parents were fighting long before they got married. I found letters when my dad passed away that my mother had sent him before she even married him, complaining about him. And it was back and forth and fighting and fighting. My sisters grew up like I did, completely solitary people. I'm not married. My sisters aren't married. My mom lives by herself. My pop lived by himself for the last 20 years. I can tell you exactly what happens when kids aren't wanted. Consequently, there's some upsides, too, because my mom would always say, great, why don't you go play outside? I didn't know it was because she didn't want kids. I just thought that's what kids are supposed to do. Great, it's raining. Go play in the rain. Hey, it's snowing outside. Don't you want to build a snowman? Hey, there's a Force 5 hurricane. Don't you want to go pretend it's a boat and whatever? To this very day, I'm a classic outdoorsman. There's no weather that I can't live in. I can live in the snow. I can walk in the summer. I love the humidity. I can swim like a fish. I even taught Animal how to swim, man. He's 370 pounds. So there's an upside of it, but I got lucky. I got lucky, man. Most people wind up in the difficult dregs. You have to think 15 moves ahead. If you play chess, you just move the piece, wait to see what happens to it. You're going to run into me, sucker. Somebody who is thinking ahead. 15 ahead, homie. 15 ahead. And the next time you call me the Neanderthal, turn up the music. I'm going to knock your lights out, honey. Get rid of him. Next call. West Palm, number 10. Do we have it? Is he still on? Number 10, you're there. West Palm Beach. Robert, talk to me.
Congratulations, first of all, Dave, for your show.
Thank you very much.
I want to talk to you about, you were talking about legalizing prostitution, and I think that one of the big advantages that would happen because of that would be that the crimes of passion, all these rapes, all the crimes that are related to sex probably most male-related sex would be curtailed in some way if prostitution was legalized.
Oh, I'm going to maintain that there are a whole lot of wars and a whole lot of religious efforts and a whole lot of jihad and a whole lot of civil war and a whole lot of domestic violence and a whole lot of wife beating would go the way of all flesh if there was enough women to go around. And I'm very serious about it. When you talk about the Mideast, look at the kind of society that they live there. It's the same kind of thing in many parts of Africa. It's there are no women, and the women that are there are sequestered away. There's no co-ed anything. As you grow up completely amongst other dudes until it's time to get married, and then you get a prescribed bride, and that's it. There's no love involved. There's no romance involved. If there is, that's purely luck. That's happenstance.
Sure, but now just talking about the American society, I mean, we see all these crimes on TV all the time. I mean, you as a musician, and I'm a musician the same as you, have got lucky many times, but I think of people, guys that really don't have, they're not that lucky, they have to go to bars, they're ugly, they don't have a chance. If they had a couple of bucks, they could at least relieve their tension, but they can't.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You're talking about legalizing prostitution.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. You know, in 1961, an entire generational prison break occurred based on two things. First, the pill in 1961, okay? That caused a whole lot of freedoms, right? And then the second was the twist, all right?
Yeah.
Well, no, the twist was the tune that allowed single, skinny, pimply little dudes like me to get out on the dance floor and dance alone. You didn't need a partner. Up until the twist happened, man, you had to cha-cha, you had to mambo, you had to do the waltz or the box step or what have you, right? Those things kept you separate. There was a whole nation of wallflowers. Now that we're on the floor alone, hey, who says we have to hook up? I like being alone. Put the music on. I got $20.
Shut up and dance, baby. Give me the guitar one time, baby. Say,
Roth, 866-313-3733, 313-333-866, David Lee Roth, Roth.com, www.. Hey, who wrote this stuff down? Don't go away. Spots up next.
David Lee Roth, this morning.